I think we should understand the line. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Always, source is revealing itself to the inner Christ. There's never a separation. Always, source is lifting you to a higher consciousness, lifting you toward itself, and then to a still higher consciousness. And each level enables source to take you closer to itself until all there is the revelation of source, I am. The Christ which goes before you never leaves. Going before means I go to a higher level of consciousness. And then I draw you up to that level of consciousness. That's how I receive you unto myself. So unless Christ is accepted as identity, you have no teacher. No one to go before you into higher levels of self. And now Peter has been the one, but along comes Thomas. Thomas says to him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest. So how can we know the way? That was a fair question. How could they know the way if they didn't know where he was going? How could you know the way to a place you didn't know? And that's exactly right. We don't know the way. Neither the sense mind or the intellect, the reasoning faculty, knows the way. So we abandon that excess cargo of sense mind and reason because they don't know the way. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And of course the world, thinking this is Jesus, the man saying this, takes the faith of Jesus, pledges to love Jesus eternally, and then misses the way. Because I, Christ in you, am the way. Christ Jesus says, I am the way. Now then, you're being told that Christ in you is the way. This shouldn't be an abstraction to you. Christ in you is the way. Your Christ self accepted as the only self you are is the way. Within you is the way, the truth, the life. Why? Because that's the present state of your being. I, in the midst of you, am Christ, the way, the truth, the life. All that separates you from eternal grace is I. And when you have accepted I in the midst of you, Christ, abandoning all that is not Christ, then that consciousness is the pure Christed consciousness, which is grace itself. Eternal grace is within you, and its name is Christ. All that the Father has is within you, in your being, waiting to be glorified. If ye had known me, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. Now this appearing as Jesus will be known as the Christ of God, not as Jesus the man, but as that Christ which is within and without. That Christ so magnificent that it can speak to you outside and inside. That it can appear in a form to lead you and disappear from the form to lead you from within. For I, the Christ, can never leave you comfortless. The great miracle of Christ standing on the earth in the form called Jesus is no different than the great miracle of Christ standing on the earth in every mortal form where only the invisible Christ actually stands. What stops us from the full realization of this? Habits of the mind. We just can't turn it off and say, I'll throw away the impressions I've had for countless generations. If we could, we would stand revealed as Christ. And that's all we would know, is the perfection of Christ in all ways. And yet, that is the way. And that way requires no defense against any corporeal objects. For I, the invisible spirit, am the master, the omnipotent one, needing no power over corporeality. When you live in me, corporeality is no longer your threat. It's only when you're not in Christ that corporeality is a threat. Then the body can sicken and die and suffer and so forth. But not in Christ. Philip said unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus said unto him, there again, the human mind is speaking from the external viewpoint, and the Christ is speaking from the internal viewpoint. He might just as well have replied this to you and to me as to Philip. Have I been with you so long, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that has seen me hath seen the Father. How sayest thou, show us the Father? Whoever has seen his own Christhood has seen the Father. You see the significance of that statement? That what you have been calling you is like Philip saying, show us a sign. But if you find Christ, you see the Father. You need no sign. But if the Father is where Christ sees the Father, can you be there? Do you see how corporeal sense makes us deny the presence of God? In the acceptance that you are there, you are denying the presence of God while thinking you love God. The very moment we say, here I am in a physical being, you are denying the presence of God. It wouldn't matter if you were leading a complete religion. If you thought that where you were in a physical form, you would be denying that God present there, invisibly, is the only self. And all your talk about God and leading people to God and your flock will be totally, not necessarily hypocritical, but ignorant of the truth. You could not lead people to God if you didn't know where God is. God is where you stand and where other people stand. And God is not sharing that space. The revelation that if thou seest me, thou seest the Father is a continuance of the revelation that God alone is the invisible substance of what we, through corporeal sense, declare to be physical form. You're walking in a universe which is made of one invisible substance called God. That substance is the substance of all that we mistakenly call form. And that is our dual nature. to walk in God, but to label things form. And then to label the conditions in the form. And then to fear the conditions in the form. Unconditioned infinity is God. Unconditioned infinity individualized is Christ. Unconditioned infinity manifest invisibly is the Holy Ghost. There is nothing else. The unconditioned Trinity is one self-expressive. There is no other. That's all there is unconditioned infinity, pure spirit, and the only one who can know it is the Christ mind. So Joel lived that way. One of the last statements he ever made on this earth was made in this chapter. Matter of fact, the whole chapter came out after he had made his transition. He had written it, spoken it, then he made his transition, and then the chapter appeared. And in it he made a very prophetic statement. I have never known what many other men have found in life, in the experience of marriage, family, home, business, but I have found the presence of God, the love of God, the light of God in people. That's precisely what Christ here in 14th chapter is telling us to do. Believe on me. I'm there. Joel did. In places and things, I have found joy in my wanderlust, and I suppose I will continue. Long as I can catch glimpses of God's grace, God's touch, and can witness His Spirit on earth as it is in heaven. I do not seek the kingdom of God, but the experience of God. He's not making a thing out of the kingdom. He knows the kingdom of God is the experience of God, the awareness of the presence of God. Knowing, too, that as you're aware of the presence of God, it, being your realized consciousness, will manifest as every visible form needed. When he wrote, God is the substance of all form, he meant that I, living in Christ, conscious of the presence of God, can rest in that presence knowing its perfect mind will manifest the perfect form necessary for any moment. Nothing was to be sought outside ourselves. As human beings, we do seek things outside ourselves. In your acceptance of Christ, you find that your confidence in the Christ nature of being enables you to rest in the knowledge that Christ, where I am, is the servant of the Father whose will is that I be perfect. And therefore the perfect will of the perfect Father presses out through Christ as the invisible Holy Ghost, and to my immense surprise in the form area, this or that appears in its own way, taking nothing from anyone. And instead of seizing that which belongs to another, becomes something that fulfills itself from within my own being into the outer. That way of life is the Christ way, the expression of Christ from the manifest invisible to the manifest visible. All grace lies within us, manifest in the visible, in the invisible, unmanifest in the visible until we have accepted the presence where I am as the only presence there is. I physically am not present Spirit of God, where I stand, is present. Thou seest the physical me is an untruth, because you really seest the Father, the invisible presence. This must be our constant awareness of all who walk this earth. I do not want to seek the kingdom of God, said Joel, but the experience of God, here, there, and everywhere, and continue on into the invisible, where, even if I make my bed in hell, his presence will reveal itself there. There was no wavering. There was no doubt. There was the cool, calm, collected knowledge that the presence is all there is. Now here are some high points in Joel's chapter, Unconditioned Infinity. It required years of meditation, says Joel, and years of almost heartbreak before it was revealed to me that the way to break the hypnotism, and he's speaking now of the hypnotism of a corporeal universe, was to know that hypnotism is not power. Isn't that interesting? Because that's giving this up to Judas. This corporeal Judas is not power. Give him the sum. Tell him to go about his business. And that's exactly what Joel discovered it meant. The only way to break the hypnotism was to know that hypnotism is not power. First you've got to know it's hypnotism, and then you've got to know it's not power. Why is it hypnotism? Because God created no corporeality. Why is it not power? Because that which God did not create cannot have power. It can, in your hypnotic state, seem to have. But that is the only way, says Joel. And that has been the function of my work and the nature of my practice from that day to this. Not trying to break hypnotism. Isn't that interesting? Not trying to break hypnotism. Not trying to free anyone from being hypnotized. And if we catch this, we're living in Christ. If we're not trying to break hypnotism, not trying to free anyone from being hypnotized, but knowing. And that's knowing Christ, you see. Knowing that hypnotism itself is an activity of the carnal mind. Therefore has no power, no law to maintain it. That it is inoperative. It's just a state of hypnotism without power, but has seeming power to those who are in that state. When you are recognizing that it is hypnotism, and therefore has no power, you are removed from that state by the recognition. But deeper, when you're living in the Christ self, all this is automatic. The Christ self is never hypnotized. The Christ self can always say, thou seest him, thou seest the Father. Don't be fooled by the form there. You're looking at the Father. Don't be fooled by this condition. You're looking at the Father. And then to rest in the knowledge that Christ self there, Christ self here are one, and therefore there's nothing else there to have power, is the recognition of no power, which, says Joel, breaks the hypnotism. When you're the pure at heart, your Christ self here and there, there's no hypnotism to be overcome. It simply has no power in your consciousness. All corporeal sense is then without power. Joel says, to be a transparency for infinite intelligence and divine love means to recognize that the carnal mind, this mesmeric influence of two powers, is not power. Now it's true that a bullet can kill a human body, and it's true that a knife can cut a human hand. But it's also true that a bullet could not kill the Christ body, or cut the Christ hand. And it's also true that we're being told in this chapter 14 that there is such a body that we can learn to walk in here and now. Not a future body. A now body. A body that is independent of the corporeal world. We're not being trained for a future heaven. We're being trained to live in the conscious awareness of such a body now. In the acceptance of it, we are accepting Christ's identity. You don't test that body by putting your finger on fires, on flames to see if they burn. You don't make any tests of the Christ. This is all done in your consciousness. Until you are released from that sense of body and lifted to the Christ awareness of body. And in that awareness of body, you will discover the changes that cannot be known while you're in your human sense mind trying to make tests. So don't be misled into thinking that you're supposed to demonstrate to people that you've got a Christ body. It's the very opposite. You're demonstrating to no one. Christ has no one to demonstrate to. That's all that is here is Christ. If you dwell in the personal sense of Christ, you're losing it just as quickly as you discover the possibility that you have it. You cannot use spirit. You cannot outline the spirit. You cannot demand of spirit that it demonstrates something. Your yielding is total. There is no you there who can make a demonstration. You totally release yourself to Christ, to God, until you are that Christ. To be a transparency, then, for infinite intelligence and divine love, means to recognize that the carnal mind, that's the human mind we all have, which is geared to the world carnal mind, this mesmeric influence of two powers is not power. It has no power to change Christ from being Christ. And it's not functioning in your or my experience. There's a beautiful line. It is not functioning in your or my experience. This carnal mind is not functioning in our experience because we're Christ. It has no law of God to maintain or sustain it. You see how you are battling with facts that the world says are facts, and that's part of the hypnotism? These are the facts that stare you in the face, and you're standing in front of them in the knowledge that they are the denial that I am Christ. You're making a stand there. Such a realization does not heal us of anything. It doesn't enrich us. It doesn't improve our morals. It simply breaks the mesmeric sense and leaves us free to function as the spiritual, harmonious beings which we naturally are. Now, when you break that bubble of mesmeric sense, it's a pleasant feeling to know that just a moment before, the impossible stared you in the face, and you as a human being did very little, and suddenly there's an intelligence in you that takes you above the mesmerism, and it breaks. And you know this is the meaning of the Christ awareness. And from it comes the confidence to face similar or more difficult circumstances, however impossible they might be, knowing that these are corporeal circumstances. And corporealism is the mesmerism. We're always caught in that mesmeric corporeal sense. That's when we think we're limited and lacking. But as we accept Christ, we're lifted beyond the level of corporeal limitation and corporeal lack, and we find spiritual abundance, which then will manifest as even what we call corporeal abundance. First the spiritual awareness, and then the invisible manifestation, and then the physical visible manifestation. That extra step. Now, this is pressing upon us the need of this same chapter to come only to a place where we will accept infinity, ever present, the miracle of infinity everywhere. Because I, Christ, am the infinite individualization of the infinite Spirit of God. Whatever the Father is infinitely, I am in my individualized self. I am an infinite mansion of infinity. And that's the truth of being now. Somewhere in here there was a word straightaway. I meant to mention that. Straightaway meant now, instantly, the moment you have accepted Christ's identity, straightaway, all that the Father hath which is in you is ready to be made manifest. You see the importance of the nowness of your being, not Christ tomorrow. You won't be more Christ tomorrow than you are now. Why wait till tomorrow? Now, Christ is. And so please expect this to be a difficult period for you, but one that can break very quickly with a great joy. The difficulty in it is not pain or suffering. The difficulty in it is that you're eager for the experience of Christ and it doesn't seem to come. And so there's a great sense of frustration, or did I do wrong, or where did I turn in the wrong direction and all that. But it's really patiently accepting and resting in identity everywhere until he comes whose right it is to sit upon the throne of your consciousness. If you will just remain in your constant practice, frequent contemplations of the truth, that Christ is your invisible identity and you have no second. It is the identity of everyone you know and they have no second. You'll find that you're walking in the kingdom and the frustrating period won't be as long as it would be if you grew impatient and had to start all over again. Expect it to be a little tussle. And be patient. It will break. It will open up. The truth is, says Joel, we do not need anything that belongs to anybody else. Well, we thought we did, as human beings. You see, in Christ, everything comes from within, from the infinite. This isn't a game, this is a fact. Everything comes from the invisible infinite. We do not need anybody else's money or his property. All we need is a conscious realization of God within us. Now this Emmanuel, this God within us, is Christ, right? God within you is Christ. The realization of Christ is all you need to know that there's nothing you need from anyone in the world. The realization of God within us, unconditioned and free, and the supply comes to us. And this is important, without depriving anyone else of that which is his, without lessening anyone else's supply. We bring it out of what might be called the unmanifested, out of the invisible. But to attempt to create with our minds is to draw to us that which is already in existence, which is already finite, and in many cases already belongs to somebody else. And so the mistake of trying to visualize what you want is again brought to our attention. There is no mental visualization of what we want in this work. The Father knoweth our needs, Infinity knows how to express itself and is expressing itself. All I need to do is clear out a way. And we find now the way to clear out for the imprisoned grace is simply to be the incorporeal Christ. Did you stub your toe this morning? Take a second pause and realize, yes, there's a corporeal toe I stubbed. It isn't Christ's toe. My invisible Christ self has no toe. And then you will find that the toe you stubbed will benefit thereby. Your mind won't be dwelling on it. Pain will somehow be alleviated in gentle ways. Just be patient. You'll find you meet any circumstance by knowing, do not live in the corporeal sense of self. Do not sow to the flesh. Always that little pause to remind yourself that where the corporeal appears, whatever its name or place or organ of the body or condition of the world, there invisibly is the Christ self, the invisible spirit. And then pause a moment for the realization of it. And you will notice a new law comes into effect. A complete new system. The full expression of the Father to the level of that moment becomes the traveling grace that accompanies you everywhere. You are even given problems, obstacles, that you may glorify that grace, manifested in spite of the problems. And so even the littlest problems or the biggest problems are all tests. Each becomes a very, in some cases, a pleasant trial, a way for you to stand aside and let the Spirit show through. Joel's point was that we are to bring supply out from within ourselves, not to go out and try to get it from our neighbor. It may appear as coming from your neighbor or your employer, or as you giving it to another. But if you're in Christ, you'll find it isn't going to disturb your employer that you're getting this or that, and it isn't going to disturb you that you're giving this or that. It will be something coming from within, finding its home where it belongs. You'll be a transparency, but only Christ is a transparency. This supply has nothing to do with only the physical things of the world. It has to do with a supply of all that is necessary on every level of our existence. The invisible mind knoweth all. The secret, says Joel, is to relax. Relax from mental activity and become aware of unconditioned infinity. That's what the world means by God. Unconditioned infinity. God is infinite, God is unconditioned, God is all. But the secret is to relax from mental activity and become aware of. Again, he's saying, as he did before, I wasn't seeking the kingdom of God, I was seeking the experience of God. As you relax from mental activity, you say, how will I become aware? What will I use to be aware with? The point is, that's the only way you become aware. You must relax your mental activity, and your awareness comes from that faculty which does not express when you're in mental activity. You have a higher faculty of awareness than the mind. And so you must relax from mental activity, and this overdrive comes on. This faculty of awareness, which is not the human mind, turns out to be your soul, and it is aware. of reality, and it distillates reality into visible selfhood. Take no thought for your life. Relax, have no mental activity. And oh, how often we forget that. And if you think I'm speaking about you, whoever you are, you're right. I'm speaking about you. I'm speaking about every you that has the habit of mental activity, thinking that these little words are footsteps that take us up into a place called heaven. Just to know that when I subside the mental activity, I am saying, Father, I trust your mind to be present, to know, to be doing, your power to be working. I am withdrawing this interloper called the human mind. I am resting. I am confident that I can rest without another word of thought. And then Joel says, be aware, you'll find you become aware of unconditioned integrity. That everywhere is the fullness of God. Infinity means the fullness. When the Bible speaks of the fullness of God, it's speaking of infinity, wholeness, and the fullness, the infinite nature of God being everywhere individualized. You're walking through it all the time. Infinite life, infinite peace, infinite supply, infinite love, infinite harmony, infinite truth, infinite beauty, infinite love. And declaring the opposites because we're in a state of human thought. Un-Christ thought. So the secret, says Joel, is relax your mental effort. The minute you're a cork on the ocean, bobbing wherever the tide takes you, in the sea of spirit, you find that beautiful mind of the Father has been leading you all the time. 24 hours of every day, the mind of God present can be trusted. By becoming aware, then, of the infinite nature of God, we bring into our experience every form necessary to our unfoldment. The unmanifested invisible forms are brought into our experience. The things we cannot know, the things which only the Christ mind can bring us, the higher levels of self that only the Christ mind can prepare us for. As you continue to practice the principle of one power, plus the two principles of impersonalization and nothingization, you're lifted into a higher spiritual atmosphere, in which you have contact with one another on the spiritual plane and with the wisdom of the world. God consciousness is your individual consciousness, and therefore all God is, you are. All God has is yours. Son, thou art ever with me. All that I have is thine. But listen, here comes a very strange sentence to follow all that. This all, when the Father says, all that I have is thine, this all does not refer to money. I think most of us have forgotten that. It refers to life, to wisdom, to love, to peace, to joy, to dominion. It refers to the qualities of God. All that I have is thine. So we don't go to God for money, do we? We go to God for what? For God. And we don't say, God, I need money. We go to God for God and stop there. And going to God means, I, Christ, am the reality of my being. That's all there is to it. You're there. You've gone to God because God in you is Christ. And now what are you going to tell Christ that you know better than Christ? The moment you've gone to Christ, the you that knew all this thing you lacked, that one's dead. You see, what's happening all through this is something we haven't really been willing to face. We are being led by Christ out of our false sense of life, which is really death. We're being led from death to life. We have accepted this death as life, with its opposites, with 50% of this and 50% of that, with all of its hardships, with all of its unanswered questions, all of its frustrations. We try to make the most of it. But Christ says, no, I'm taking you to life, where none of this that you have experienced is. And if you want to go on this journey to life, remember, you've got to leave your body outside. You've got to leave your mind outside because it is the parent of your body. You've got to come in as one of those little children. Without human minds and human bodies, and trust in Christ to be yourself. You believe in God, now believe in yourself. And you will find that is how you believe in God. Believe in yourself. Limitations, says Joel, are broken down. The moment you realize there is nothing except universal belief in two powers, keeping you from being a transparency for God's unlimited, infinite nature. Once you know that two powers are only the belief of corporeal mind, and you have no corporeal mind, you'll find the Christ mind will break the illusion of two powers, the illusion of limitation. And so, in conclusion, our approach to life, says Joel, should not be one of learning how to use truth, although I'm sure most of us have been on that path, learning how to use truth, but how to be so receptive and responsive to the divine impulse that truth can use us, that life can flow as our life, wisdom as our wisdom, letting ourselves be a transparency for the Father, who flows as the expression called Christ the Son. That Son you are. That Son everyone is. And until you are willing to rest in that truth, with conviction, without fear, with total trust and confidence, you are saying, God is not all. God is only here and there and somewhere else, but not everywhere. And you are adulterating the spiritual universe with your false concepts. Start thinking in terms of the true joy of knowing that only God is everywhere. You'll find that this joy does quietly tell you that you have reached a level of knowing. Yes, God is everywhere. It matters not where you find yourself, God is there. Where you came from, God is there. Where you're going, God is there. In that knowledge, in the joy of going everywhere where God is consciously, you are beginning to say to the Christ within you, yes, I believe in God everywhere. And I know that God everywhere is called the individualized Christ of God, which I have been calling my neighbor everywhere. This was how Jesus began the deeper teaching, now that corporeal sense had been cast out of the world. This is how we follow the deeper teaching. We cast out corporeal sense. We accept Christ. I am Christ. I am no other. And every time I act, think, or believe that I am another, I am making myself a spiritual orphan. I am pronouncing myself dead, even though I walk in a form. We're coming from death to life, from man to Christ. Corporeal clay to the living spirit. And where we are coming, we already are. All that is necessary is the acceptance of that truth. We're going right through to the next chapter in Joel called the Sea of Spirit next time. We've only covered a few verses in 14 of John. We'll stay with that. Christ your universe, and you will witness the great joy of constantly being in the presence of God. Again, much love and thank you.